It is 3 hours Universal Time. Stay tuned for Daybreak Africa coming up after these latest world news headlines.
A seventh doctor in Sierra Leone dies of Ebola. President Obama says the fight against the disease has a long way to go. I'm Victor Beatty reporting from Washington. In Sierra Leone, a seventh doctor has died of Ebola. Dr. Moses Kargbo, retired medical officer who volunteered to help fight the spread of the deadly virus, died at the Hastings Ebola Treatment Center near Freetown Tuesday. The death announced as European Union officials warn thousands more health workers are needed to halt and eradicate Ebola. Vatenis Andriukaitis is the EU Health Commissioner.
The Ebola response is switching from defense to offense. The medical workers are going to meet the disease where it is, in the cities and in the rural communities. The response is following the geography of the virus from top-down treatment model in the capitals and bigger cities to bottom-up model, a fight based on community approach.
President Obama Tuesday said the fight against the disease has a long way to go despite success in treating cases diagnosed.
As long as the outbreak continues to rage in the three countries in West Africa, Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea, this is still going to be a danger not just for America but for the entire world.
The president, speaking at the White House, said until the outbreak is ended in West Africa, there is still some measure of risk to people worldwide. Britain's Queen Elizabeth voiced concerns malaria risks being sidelined by Ebola in an audience with David Heyman, professor of infectious diseases at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. The Queen said more people die from malaria every week than from Ebola. This is VOA News. The agency UNAIDS says the world can end the disease as a global health threat by the year 2030 with a five-year fast-track approach, but must do so now or risk a resurgence of the virus. In its annual report, the agency says more than 13 million people with AIDS have access to antiretroviral medicines. The goal is 90-90-90, with 90% of people knowing they have the disease, 90% on treatment, and 90% of those with a low infection level. As of last year, 35 million people worldwide lived with HIV, most in Africa. 1.5 million died last year, but fatalities have fallen 35% since the peak in 2005. Michel Kafando was sworn in Tuesday as Burkina Faso's interim president with the task of steering the West African country back to civilian rule.
Notre pays ne saurait être une république bananière.
At his inaugural ceremony, Mr. Kafando pledged to respect both the constitution and the transitional charter during a nationally televised ceremony in the capital, Ouagadougou. He is now tasked with naming a prime minister and helping create a 25-person interim government that will lead Burkina Faso to new elections in a year. The country's military took power November 1st after the abrupt resignation of longtime President Blaise Compaoré. The Ivory Coast's government Tuesday agreed to pay back wages and overdue benefits to thousands of former rebels who now serve in the Ivorian Army after thousands of protesting soldiers raised barricades, blocked streets, and briefly occupied state television and radio in Bouaké, as well as the commercial capital Abidjan and at least four other cities. The demonstrations underscored the state of the world's largest cocoa producer 4 years after contested elections turned violent, killing some 3,000 people and dividing the country in half. The UN Security Council Tuesday was told that Guinea-Bissau also remains in a fragile state following a 2012 coup that requires continued international support. Prime Minister Domingos Pereira said while there has been progress, the West African nation faces challenges, including limited resources and persistent social instability, and he requested an extension of the presence of the UN peacekeeping mission. Zambia's acting president Guy Scott Tuesday announced an election to replace the late leader Michael Sata will be held on January 20th. Mr. Sata died following an undisclosed illness at a London hospital on October 28th. Former President Rupia Banda of the opposition movement for multi-party democracy this week announced his intention to run. Edgar Lungu is expected to head the ruling Patriotic Front Party. The hour's top story, a seventh doctor dies of Ebola in Sierra Leone. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Good morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Bate in Washington. Today is Wednesday, November 19th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. President Obama and Congress agreed to keep the focus on fighting Ebola.
We are nowhere near out of the woods yet in West Africa. The good news is in parts of Liberia, our efforts, both civilian and military, are really paying dividends.
That's U.S. President Barack Obama speaking Tuesday in Washington. The World Health Organization says rapid, safe diagnostic tests for Ebola are urgently needed. Sierra Leone's president suspends his uncle for breaking Ebola rules. Former rebels in the Central African Republic face a bleak future, and a judicial strike paralyzes services in Malawi.
In October, the government reviewed the salaries of the civil servants, but we are not included in that revision. Yet, in 2012, we had an agreement that each time they are revising the salaries of the civil servants, they will be doing the same.
Lindley Herbert is a spokesperson for striking judicial workers in Malawi, and Cameroon women have a new tool to plan their pregnancies. Those stories plus Mark Oldman Sports and our listener of the day are coming up on Daybreak Africa. President Barack Obama and two congressional panels warned on Tuesday that despite declining media attention, Ebola remains a serious global threat. The president has asked the U.S. Congress for an additional $6.2 billion in emergency funding to fight the deadly disease in West Africa. As VOA's Cindy Singh reports from Capitol Hill, most lawmakers say they realize the money is urgently needed.
President Obama got an update on the Ebola crisis at the White House, where he urged the world to remain focused on the outbreak, even though the spotlight has faded.
We are nowhere near out of the woods yet in West Africa. The good news is in parts of Liberia, our efforts, both civilian and military, are really paying dividends. And we are seeing the curve bending so that we are on track with diligence, dealing with the hot spots that may still reemerge to actually get a handle on that disease.
Experts are praising U.S. leadership in fighting Ebola, but say continued vigilance is needed. On Capitol Hill, Center for Disease Control Director Thomas Frieden testified that intensive public health efforts can stop Ebola.
In Nigeria, they were able to surge and stop a cluster from spreading. Mali is now in the balance of whether it becomes the next Nigeria, having successfully contained a cluster, or the next Liberia or Sierra Leone with widespread transmission.
70% of new Ebola infections stem from contact with a deceased, making the role of burial teams crucial in containing the disease. Brett Sedgwick of the nonprofit Global Communities told another congressional panel.
The work of burial teams is both backbreaking and heartbreaking. I have accompanied burial teams to see seen the incredible professionalism with which they operate.
The U.S. and the international community need to think beyond Ebola to establish basic health services in West Africa, says the vice president of the nonprofit International Medical Corps, Rabi Torbe.
People are not just dying from Ebola. They're dying from malaria. They're dying from waterborne diseases. Women are dying from the lack of facilities where they could go for safe delivery, and this needs to be done as soon as possible.
President Obama has called for Congress to quickly authorize emergency funding to fight Ebola. Cindy Sane, VOA News, on Capitol Hill.
Sierra Leone's President Ernest Bai Koroma has suspended his uncle indefinitely from a respected position as a tribal chief for violating laws designed to contain the Ebola virus. Amadou Camara, the head of the northern village of Yele Sanda in Bombale district, is accused of covering up secret burials of victims who were supposed to be reported by their families to the authorities. The government had passed regulations for residents to report strangers in their villages and alert authorities about sick family members. Government spokesman Abdullahi Birete says President Koroma wanted to send a clear message that nobody is above the law, especially when it comes to the fight against Ebola.
We have bylaws that we restart, and it was very clear that everybody that gets sick at the village level, we don't need to wait until when such people die. And also, secondly, we indicated very clearly that when somebody dies, nobody should participate in the burial except a medical team by calling the 117 number. So this section chief flouted that law by not informing the authorities, particularly the medical team. And by the time we went into the village there, a lot of people already died. So that is why the paramount chief, Masaeli Antam II, had to use the powers conferred on him by President Nkrumah. And he disclosed in the town hall meeting that, Mr. President, your bylaws are working because your uncle, who happens to be your direct uncle, has been the first victim in my own chiefdom. And there was a loud applause because the president said he wasn't going to overturn that decision at all, and rather he endorsed the action taken by the paramount chief in suspending his uncle.
Did the president get to find out from his uncle, Amadou Camara, why he did not make the report to the government? What is the problem? Is this a tribal thing?
You know, we have this problem whereby people still think that they need to conduct burials at a traditional level. And already the medical experts have indicated to us that Ebola, once somebody died from it, that is when the viral load becomes very active and very contagious. So that is why we have promulgated the laws that all medical burials should now be the norm rather than the exception.
Has President Ernest Bai Koroma had a chance to react to the passing of Dr. Salia?
Yes, we have reacted as a government, publicly and privately. It is a sad loss, to say the least. Not so much because Dr. Salia has been sacrificing on the line of duty, but simply because he died in the line of duty, a sacrifice he was making in the fight against Ebola. He had the option after his studies to have stayed overseas and conduct his medical practice if he was the type of person that was only looking for money. But the fact that he came and joined forces, and he was one of our frontline doctors, and in the process, he died just like the other doctors. For us, it's a huge loss as a government. The reason being, we are grappling with a medical system wherein we don't even have enough medical doctors. Therefore, the death of one is just too many for us as a nation.
Sierra Leone government spokesman Abdullahi Berete was speaking with me from the capital, Freetown. The World Health Organization says it is launching two initiatives to stimulate the development of better and faster Ebola diagnostic tests for use in heavily disease-infected West African countries. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from WHO headquarters in Geneva.
The World Health Organization says Ebola diagnostic tests are urgently needed to stem the transmission of this fatal disease in Guinea, Sierra Leone, and Liberia. It says efforts to contain the Ebola outbreaks in West Africa are hampered by cumbersome, slow, and complex diagnostic tests. More than 12 WHO mobile laboratories have been deployed in West Africa. The test they use provides very accurate results when performed by trained staff, which is not always available. And each test requires a full tube of blood, takes from 2 to 6 hours, and costs around $100. WHO Emerging and Epidemic Zoonotic Diseases team leader Pierre Fomenti says these requirements are difficult to meet in West African settings, severely limiting the ability to test for the disease. When the number of Ebola cases in West Africa begins to decrease, he says great efforts will be needed to chase down the last Ebola case to declare the epidemic over.
So we will need, in 4 to 6 months from now, to increase the number of laboratory tests to be sure that we are not missing cases. To do that increase, we need to change our strategy in terms of laboratory. We need to augment the number of tests. We will really need to find the very last cases of Ebola.
Dr. Fomenti says the WHO is minimizing the barriers faced by diagnostic companies to develop and deploy their tests. He says the UN agency will be collaborating with manufacturers, academic researchers, and staff from Doctors Without Borders, among others, to move the process forward. He says in 4 months, two types of tests will be in the pipeline. One is a rapid test, and the other is an automatic version of the current test. He says laboratory technicians will need to diagnose between 1,000 and 10,000 cases per day.
So you need a lot of these kits, and today it's not possible to do that with the capacity that I was mentioning, who are international mobile lab based on very high expertise. We really need easy-to-use diagnostic tests, and we will need, of course, to build the lab that we are talking about for each district, but also to train the people to do this test.
WHO officials say the new rapid diagnostic tests should produce results in 15 to 30 minutes, cost just a few dollars, and have no biosafety requirements beyond wearing personal protective equipment. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
It is Wednesday morning, November 19th, and you're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington, and please send your comments and opinions to DaybreakAfrica at voanews.com. Daybreak Africa time, 16 minutes past the hour. A week-long strike by the support staff of the judiciary has paralyzed the courts in Malawi, causing overcrowding in police jails and the indefinite suspension of major cases, including government corruption trials. Court martial clerks and messengers throughout the judicial system are demanding a 30% salary increase, which they say was promised them by the government 2 years ago. Lamek Masina has more from Blantyre.
Chanting and singing around the court premises has become a pastime activity for the striking court workers since the onset of a sit-in last week. A spokesperson for the striking workers, Lynn Herbert, told VOA the strike is a result of the government's failure to honor a 2012 agreement.
In October, the government reviewed the salaries of the civil servants, but we are not included in that revision. Yet, in 2012, we had an agreement that each time they are revising the salaries of the civil servants, they will be doing the same. So we are surprised to see that this time we are left out.
Government authorities said the failure to increase judicial workers' salaries this year is largely because of the financial constraints following a donor aid freeze against Malawi's government. The freeze is a result of the government's financial scandal in which more than $30 million United States dollars was looted from government coffers. Minister of Finance spokesperson Nations Nsowoya told a local radio station it is hard for the government to meet the workers' demand. Nsowoya says it is difficult to promise what the Treasury will do, but he says due to the prevailing economic circumstances and budgetary constraints, it will make a little bit difficult for the Treasury to bow down to the demands. But Herbert says the strikers will not resume work until their demands are met.
Since I was born, the government says they have no money. No time the government never said it had some money. So it had its own means, and we find the same means to give us the money.
The ongoing strike is hampering progress of trials as court operations remain suspended. Several trials, including that of former Justice Minister Rafka Sambara, who is answering charges in connection with the financial scandal, were indefinitely suspended last week. Police are complaining of congestion in jail cells as no suspects are being taken to court. Malawi police spokesperson Roda Manjolo told VOA the only option they have is giving police bail to those with minor offenses. Human rights campaigners and legal experts say the strike is contributing to human rights violations. Government authorities say closed door negotiations to resolve the matter continue in the capital, Lilongwe. But the striking workers told VOA whatever the case, they will accept nothing short of a 30% increase in their salaries. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Blantyre.
Former rebels in the Central African Republic have been threatening to blow themselves up to protest a government attempt to relocate them from camps in the capital, Bangui. The rebels are under pressure to move. An international aid agency says their food supply has been put on hold while talks about their relocation continue. Nick Long has more for VOA from the capital, Bangui.
Tensions are running high in the streets of Bangui around two camps containing ex-rebels as negotiations over their future drag on. Peacekeepers from the United Nations mission MINUSCA have deployed in the area to prevent clashes between the ex-Seleka rebels inside the camps and anti-Balaka militia outside. Adding to the tension, two young ex-Seleka told local radio that a government offer to pay ex-rebels $25 each to get out of the camps was not enough. They said the fighters wanted $500 each, and if they didn't get it, they would blow up an ammunition dump in one of the camps, potentially killing many people living around it as well as its inmates. So far, that threat has not been acted on. Officially, there are still about 2,000 ex-rebels living at the two camps, although some aid workers say the actual number is only 1,000. They have been there since January, when most of the ex-Seleka were forced out of the city. Last week, a government program to feed these rebels came to a halt, according to the International Organization for Migration, or IOM, the agency implementing that program. Mario Tavolai is IOM's manager of the program.
The situation is we were requested by our partners, MINUSCA and government, to put the program on hold, temporarily on hold, until further notice, because of the security incident of a few days ago.
IOM says the ex-rebels have been receiving food since early this year, when they agreed that they would disarm and move out of the camps in due course.
The precondition for receiving food is that they should participate to the program. In other words, they have accepted disarmament and they have accepted to be relocated voluntarily to the destination of their own choice.
But prospects outside the camps look particularly bleak for this group of ex-Seleka, according to some aid workers who say that these ex-rebels are unlike the rest of the movement, who are mostly Muslims from outside Bangui. Thierry Dumont is the CAR coordinator of the medical aid group Doctors Without Borders.
The Seleka now in Bangui, they are people who have nowhere else to go. They might be from Bangui, so they want to stay in Bangui, or they are Christian and they don't want to be sent back to another area where Muslim might be a majority.
Although the Seleka have been painted as a Muslim movement, at its height, nearly half of its followers were Christians. Most people in Christian communities now see these people as traitors, so their camps may be the safest place for them, especially if they have no money. Last week, the government reportedly gave them about $10,000, enough to buy them food for a few days. The International Organization for Migration says it hopes at least part of the program for the ex-rebels can be resumed. Nick Long for VOA News, Bangui.
Cameroon has become the seventh African country to begin using the Calculator 28, a program that calculates female ovulation to help women avoid unwanted pregnancies. The Calculator 28 can be used via mobile phone or as a kit. Moki Edwin Kinzeka has more from Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Belinda Yayin was just 15 years old when she got pregnant last year. She says she wasn't prepared to have a baby or the stigma that comes with being an unwed schoolgirl.
I don't even want to remember what happened. I gave birth and 2 days after I was sent back home with no follow-up of what was happening to my child. The child got sick and passed away. I'm almost traumatized because of this act.
Belinda is one of the estimated 222 million women in developing countries the World Health Organization says would like to delay or stop childbearing but are not using any method of contraception. Tackling the issue, Gabonese-born Paul Frank Injinjet Gunjut came up with a new tool to help women better understand their bodies and fertility.
40% of girls and women don't know how to calculate their menstrual cycle.
He developed the Calculator 28 to pinpoint ovulation, the fertile time in a woman's monthly cycle.
People who use our application have to send a message with the date of last menstruation and the duration of period, and they will receive the date of next menstruation, the fertile period, and the date of ovulation.
Gynecologist Tumasang Florence of the Yaoundé Central Hospital says this tool can have a huge impact in Africa, where there is great need to give more information about and control to women over their bodies.
L'importance de ce projet, c'est parce qu'on a des problèmes de planning familial. La plupart des femmes.
She says Africa has serious family planning problems. A majority of women do not even know what a menstrual cycle is, and 40% of those who do know are not capable of remembering the last date of their menses, leading to unwanted pregnancies. While Calculator 28 is SMS-based, it can also be distributed as a kit that can show women without mobile phones how to calculate their menstrual cycle and receive information on their fertile and unsafe periods for sexual intercourse. A recent UN report shows that without a better strategy, 40% of the 2 billion children to be born in Africa before 2035 would come from unwanted pregnancies. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
Time now for Daybreak Africa Sports, and here is Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa. Very good Wednesday morning to you, Mark.
Good morning, James. In our Daybreak Africa Sports News, we begin with athletics. The Ugandan capital Kampala and the Kenyan capital Nairobi will host World Athletics events in 2017 following their successful bids in Monaco on Tuesday. Kampala is venue for the IAAF World Cross Country Championships, while Nairobi is venue for the IAAF World Youth Championships. Ostrava in the Czech Republic hosts the 2018 IAAF Continental Cup, while Doha, Qatar hosts the 2019 IAAF World Athletics Championships. In football, the Confederation of African Football, CAF, and FIFA have initiated a worldwide commitment to fight against the spread of the deadly Ebola virus. Dubbed 11 Against Ebola, the campaign is to enhance awareness of preventive measures to halt the spread of Ebola. The campaign gets a high-profile boost at the final round of the 2015 Orange Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers today, Wednesday. Prior to kickoff at all 14 venues, teams will display the Together We Can Beat Ebola banner to highlight African football solidarity in fighting against Ebola. Elsewhere, the 11 Against Ebola global campaign is jointly being driven by CAF, FIFA, the World Bank and the World Health Organization through various media platforms. A reigning FIFA World Male Player of the Year, Cristiano Ronaldo, leads a host of prominent players featured in these media messages. They include, among others, Barcelona's Neymar and Xavi Alonso, Real Madrid's Rafael Varane and Gareth Bale, Bayern Munich's Jerome Boateng and coach Pepe Guardiola, Chelsea's Didier Drogba and John Mikel Obi, together with Sierra Leone's George Davis. Meanwhile, African champions Nigeria hosts South Africa in Uyo as Guinea play Uganda in Casablanca, Morocco in the final round of the 2015 Orange Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers today, Wednesday. Mali play Algeria, the Democratic Republic of Congo face Sierra Leone. Ghana encounter Togo and Senegal play Botswana. Elsewhere, Ivory Coast welcome Cameroon. Ethiopia engage Malawi. Tunisia face Egypt. Gabon encounter Lesotho. Niger welcome Mozambique. Burkina Faso engage Angola. Sudan challenge the Republic of Congo and Zambia at home to Cape Verde Islands. And that's it for Daybreak Africa Sports News. I'm Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa. Back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Mark. Have a good day. And briefly, before we leave you, a summary of Africa news. U.S. President Barack Obama says the fight against Ebola has a long way to go despite success in treating cases diagnosed in the United States. He spoke Tuesday at the White House after a briefing with his Ebola response team. Mr. Obama said the continuation of the outbreak in Africa makes clear how important it is to sustain the fight against the disease. Michel Kafando has been sworn in as Burkina Faso's interim president with the task of steering the West African country back to civilian rule. Mr. Kafando pledged to respect both the constitution and the transitional charter during a nationally televised ceremony on Tuesday in the capital, Ouagadougou. That's it for this Wednesday, November 19th edition of Daybreak Africa. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, producer Nicole Beckford, reporters Peter Clotty and Ricky Shryak, as well as sports editor Mark Ouma, along with our engineer Jim Main Cook, I am James Barton in Washington, wishing every one of you in Africa a very good day.
Love African music?
Music time in Africa.
This is Heather Maxwell, and if you do, Music Time in Africa is the perfect show for you. Tune in to listen on the radio Saturdays and Sundays at 0900 2000 and 2100 UTC. You can also listen to the show day or night on the internet. Go to voanews.com and voaafrica.com and click on Music Time in Africa. You'll find past and present radio shows and a link to my blog, African Music Treasures. This is Africa through its own music. Oldies, classics, traditional music, Afropop, and fusion. You get it all right here in one beautiful bundle on VOA's Music Time in Africa.